Turn out for May Day. It's important to show the power. So, you all have a good day now. Tell me, heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's not all that glitter is gold. After story had never been told. So now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your right. Come on. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Hey, good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland, just a minute before 9 o'clock on your Thursday morning. Coming up in a half hour, join us for Fight the Empire. Today, host Per Fogering speaks with journalist Gareth Porter about America's 30-year Cold War with Iran, manufacturing a good adversary. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, join us for Flashpoints, featuring another installment of the Battle for Public Education in the 21st Century and the weekly broadcast of the Electronic Intifada. At 11 on Between the Covers, first-time author Marian Palaya discusses her novel, The Given World, which tells the story of a young woman whose life is haunted by her brother's disappearance in Vietnam. At 11:30 on the Radio Zine, host Lisa Loving speaks with journalist, author, and documentary filmmaker John Ronson about his latest book, So You've Been Publicly Shamed. That is all coming up this morning. Up next, it's Teresa Mitchell hosting Press Watch, news you're not supposed to know. Stick around.
Where is your radio dial on Thursday afternoons from noon until 2? 90.7 FM is the place to be. Twice a month, DJ Charlie presents the World Beat Connection with the hottest Afro-Caribbean sounds in Portland radio land. Reggae, salsa, soca, New Orleans Afro-funk, Haitian compa and rara, and Antillean zouk share the airwaves with African high life. Afrobeat, Congolese soukous, Malian blues, juju, and South African kwaito, among the other great styles. Traditional and modern expressions are all included. On alternate weeks, check out Top Rankin' Reggae and Dancehall with Shocks of Sheba show, hosted by Teresa and Michelle. Any week, Thursdays at noon is sure to move ya.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Vesta. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. From Russia today, hacktivists from the Anonymous Group have attacked hundreds of pro-Islamic state websites and thousands of social networks accounts used by the terrorist group. A faction of the Anonymous Group called GhostSec is carrying out a cyber campaign called Op ISIS against the Islamic State. They are looking to target members and supporters of the terrorist organization who want to spread propaganda over the internet. And I might add, they also, of course, recruit over the internet. Anonymous are monitoring social media accounts as well as websites operated by the group, formerly known as ISIS ISIL, to disrupt their online operations as they try to cure the ISIS virus. On Wednesday, the Anonymous Group reported casualties among the enemy ranks, which included 233 websites which had been attacked, 85 websites that had been destroyed, and 25,000 terminated Twitter accounts. And RT writes, not everyone is happy with the actions undertaken by Anonymous. Security services, Pentagon, have criticized the group for taking matters into their own hands. These intelligence bodies say the elimination of jihadist websites and social media accounts prevents them from gathering valuable information concerning their activities. Ha, ha, ha. I love this story because, I mean, if ISIS were not so damn important to keeping you frightened and supporting the Pentagon and all the things the Pentagon does, the, you know, hundreds of overseas bases, the arms supply to the Saudis, that's huge. Do you know how huge that is? Do you know how huge Saudi Arabia is? Do you know how many arms they have sold to them by Americans? This is all very important in terms of absolutely terrorizing that region with Pentagon arms. And without ISIS, I mean, who would support it? I mean, the U.S. media is pretty good at characterizing things as defense, the Defense Department, the defense budget. It's just what a load of crap. But all this war spending is justified in the public mind because, oh my gosh, you got to take off your shoes at the airport because ISIS might get you. Well, ISIS never did have that power. And the Pentagon could have taken down those websites a long time ago, could have prevented all kinds of recruiting, could have saved people from ruining their lives by being caught by the FBI en route to Syria or to Iraq, or by ruining their lives by actually arriving in Syria or Iraq. Anonymous went out and just yanked them down. So what'll they do for a boogeyman now? I think it's awesome. Kudos to Anonymous for doing that. This from Credo Action. They sent something to my email. It said, in part, an investigation by the Desert Sun newspaper has revealed that Nestle Corporation has been illegally pumping water out of a Southern California national forest for its bottled water with a permit that expired 27 years ago. Now, departing from this, Nestle is also pumping water out of Oregon. And what a hell of a deal they're getting, and they're about to do even more, and there are actions against it, and you will certainly hear more about it here on KBOO Portland. But returning to that email, it says, that means for 27 years, Nestle, the largest bottled water producer in the world, has been profiting by illegally extracting water in one of the most drought-stricken areas in the country, while the U.S. Forest Service, who issues and oversees the permits, has been totally asleep at the switch. The Forest Service must immediately halt Nestle's water withdrawals and stop allowing corporate profiteering in the middle of California's drought, they write. As the world's leading bottled water producer, owner of Perrier and San Pellegrino brands, Nestle already has a dismal track record on water conservation and human rights. In 2013, Nestle was forced to back down after fighting a decision in Ontario, Canada, that would limit its water extraction in times of severe drought. That same year, Nestle's CEO famously challenged the human right to water. Remember that? There's no human right to water, he said. You can't make these guys up. I mean, just their... I mean, well, I guess you could add fangs or something, but geez. Anyway, returning to the email, no wonder Nestle has continued to transport water out of the San Bernardino National Forest despite the fact that its permit expired in 1988. If you were born in 1988, it's time for Saturn return. But returning to the... email, we don't know how much water Nestle has been extracting for private profit because in 2009, the company stopped submitting annual reports to local water districts about the groundwater it extracted for its bottled water. And furthermore, no agency currently monitors the amount of water Nestle has been illegally extracting from the San Bernardino National Forest or its environmental impact. What we do know is that Nestle is profiting handsomely by extracting water from public lands. In Sacramento, for example, Nestle pays the same rates for water as average residential users and then turns around and sells this water for literally thousands of times more than it pays. I was at the grocery store yesterday, and I got so thirsty, so I thought, oh, I've just got to find the water fountain. So I looked and looked and looked and looked and looked and looked. Silly me. There ain't no water fountain. This is Press Watch. You're listening to KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Now, turning to some good news, 21 protesters were arrested in Seattle. Hundreds more marched through the streets of major cities across Washington Wednesday to call for a higher minimum wage. In Seattle, an ordinance now has workers paid at least $11 an hour with a gradual increase to $15 an hour over the course of several years. But protesters in the city said that doesn't solve all problems. They said many are still not covered by this law and not earning a living wage, which, departing from this text, is true. You hear a lot about that $15 minimum wage, but there are a lot of exceptions to it. So it's not like everyone gets 15 bucks. Returning to the article, nearly two dozen people sat in the middle of a blockaded intersection in Capitol Hill waiting to be arrested for the cause. Some of them were adjunct professors. And once again, speaking for myself, adjunct professors don't get $15 an hour. How pitiful is that? So much for meritocracy. You ever hear that? The U.S. is a meritocracy. You know, if you're not making money, it's because, you know, you haven't got your stuff together. So smart, why ain't you rich? Well, you can be smart enough to be an adjunct professor and you still be poor. Because of billionaireism. There's more to that article, but let me skip to another protest. Tampa, Florida. Protesters across the U.S. are making yet another push for employers to raise minimum wage. This is from WTSP in Tampa. From Greenville, North Carolina to Chicago, Illinois, protesters camped out at McDonald's restaurants all over the country. Similar sight in the Bay Area, meaning Tampa Bay, as workers fight for more pay, not just in the fast food industry, but for all employees living off minimum wage. Tampa Mayor Bob Buckhorn joined hundreds of protesters at Copeland Park. So I'm telling you, this $15 an hour thing, thanks to you, is getting big. And I think that's very, very encouraging on a number of levels. I think for people here in the U.S. to take charge on a number of issues, on the fact that our democracy is a joke, on the fact that the global warming is out of control. These things are done by corporations, and the first step to realizing that there are human rights is to grab some. So this is really good news. As a matter of fact, it scared former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton into tweeting her support of low-wage workers. This is from Huffington Post. She has highlighted income inequality as an issue she wants to focus on since launching her presidential campaign on Sunday and said that workers shouldn't have to march to the streets for living wages. As I'm saying, that is from the Huffington Post. Now, I'm not reporting this because I believe a word of it. I view that in the same way that I view now Obama's promises to dial back the war. I seriously doubt Clinton, with her list of donors, gives a damn or even can afford to give a damn about living wages. But anyway, but right now is the time for her to say she's very smart, that she cares about living wages. Returning to the Huffington Post article, the widespread demonstrations on Wednesday for higher wages were part of an effort to turn the campaign for higher wages into a larger social justice movement. Tens of thousands of people in more than 200 cities around the country took to the streets to call for a boost in wages, many walking out of their jobs. And speaking again for myself, of course, this is also happening in Oregon. Recently saw that KBOO's Jamie Partridge was there in the legislature talking to them down in Salem. Wonderful work being done here in Portland and in Oregon. Returning to the article on Tuesday, the New York Times noted that while Clinton has endorsed raising the minimum wage, she has been vague on how quickly she wants to raise it and exactly how high it should be. Gee, I wonder why that is. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Hundreds march through downtown Portland on Wednesday, tax day, to call for a $15 minimum wage. The early afternoon march was one of more than 60 demonstrations nationwide, organizers said, aimed at raising awareness of a growing call for higher minimum wages. Demonstrators gathered at noon at downtown's O'Brien Square, many carrying bright red signs and purple Service Employees International Union branded balloons. They chanted and marched to Portland City Hall, briefly and peacefully walking up Southwest Broadway and finishing at Portland State University. And Don is on the air. Hello, Don. Whoops, Don, looks like the engineer had to run off for a moment, so we'll get to you in just a moment. Returning to that article by Andrew Thien and Oregon Live, we've won in Seattle and down in San Francisco. Here in Oregon, we're the first state to have a real serious conversation about statewide minimum wage. That's a quote of Justin Norton Kurtzen, 15 Now organizer. And now, we can talk to, whoops, Don's gone, I guess. Or is he? Okay, well, number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Returning to the article, which is in Oregon Live, This week, 15 Now activists revealed plans for a statewide ballot measure next year to gradually raise the state's minimum wage to $15 an hour by 2019. Several bills introduced in the Oregon legislature call for similar phased-in increases. In Oregon, cities such as Portland can't raise their own minimum wage. Some bills would lift a statewide preemption that prevents local governments from setting their own wages and related increases. So I think it's very interesting that the Oregonian is covering this to this degree, and there's more on that article you can find there. Some quotes by Tim Combs, et cetera. And, you know, gosh, it was just a year ago the Oregonian was treating $15 an hour as pie-in-the-sky stuff. And so were other local weeklies. Well, I guess the Oregonian is not a weekly yet. It's just weak, very weak. And Don is back, I think.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Hey, so there's no human right to water, and we're made of mostly water, so what are they really telling us?
They're telling us that they rule us, they own us. Lick their Gucci's forever, that's their message.
Yeah, I think it's even worse than that, because they're saying we have no right to life. But I want to give you a little background on the Paul DeMenu's resignation from the Oversight Committee. But first I want to talk about taser abuse. People should know that law enforcement, but remember when Mike Reese went in front of the city club and he was bragging about how he had new tasers that knocked people down at 100 feet away? Well, the thing he didn't mention is that on these low settings, they can set these tasers so they can aim them at somebody, and they will just make your body tingle or itch. And they can also have another setting. It's a low setting. They aim it where it's a real pinpoint, where it just feels like you got stabbed with a needle.
Well, I certainly remember when they first came out with them, they were saying, oh, this will improve law enforcement. This will reduce deaths. Oh, no, they won't be used for torture. Of course not. Not torture.
So what the police are doing now is they're driving around their cars, and they're setting them on their low settings, or you're going by people's houses, sitting outside their house at night. They're shooting these tasers at their bodies.
Where? When?
you'll find a little more about that soon enough. But,
well, tell me something. I mean, how do you know this?
Because I've been shot with them.
Okay.
So they're aiming at your genitals and your anus, and they're doing it deliberately, and that is aggravated sodomy under the law. So stay tuned for more about that. But here's what I want to talk about. The Paul DeMenu's thing is probably what this is really about.
Okay.
You know, he came on Joanne's show a few weeks ago, and he talked about how I asked him, I said, did you see Alien Boy? And instead of saying no, but I'm curious, you know, we got to stop what happened to James Chastity. This was wrong. He just ignored it and said, no, I didn't see it. Next question. And then I brought up about this picture of him shaking hands with a persecutor out in Washington County, Bob Herman Monster. I said, you know, you got your picture up there shaking his hand. I said, that's so wrong. And he goes, then he comes back after I hung up. He said, well, that was back in 2001. Well, I have a copy of it. It was in 2008 that was on there. So it was up there for about 7 or 8 years. Now you ask yourself, if you're a jury out in Washington, you get called for jury duty in Washington County, what are you going to do? You're going to go on the website and look at the courthouse website and try to figure out what your responsibility is. First thing you're going to see there is, wow, I might get picked for grand jury. That means long term.
Okay, I'm going to have to...
I'm going to have to ask for a more general point
because I don't know who that person is. I missed that broadcast. I don't know who you're criticizing.
Joanne Hardesty. She had Paul DeMenu's on her show 2 weeks ago.
Well, I know who Joanne is. Okay, but go ahead.
Yeah, okay, so he was on there.
So what's the main point?
The main point is that Paul DeMenu's and Bob Herman had their picture shaking hands on his website. That prejudiced everybody who got called for jury duty, especially grand jury duty. So everybody who... And I'm just saying Bob Herman knew this. He's a lawyer. That's an appearance of impropriety. He cannot make people think that he's in cahoots with the Chief Justice, because that means if you've got a criminal case that goes up to the state court, what is it? You know, it's totally biased. It at least leaves that impression. Bob Herman needs to resign, and he needs to be disbarred for doing this, because Paul DeMenu told Joanne he did not have his permission to use his likeness or his picture.
Okay, and what office is he now in?
Paul DeMenu, Bob Herman is the persecutor for Washington County.
Okay. Thank you very much for that call.
Sure.
Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Had been talking about the many protests in support of the $15 minimum wage, an attempt to create a living wage, and I think a very encouraging movement towards recognizing the fact that the society really should be for the society and not for billionaires. Mary Kay Henry, international president of the SEIU, told The Guardian, there is not a price tag you can put on how this movement has changed the conversation in this country. It is raising wages at the bargaining table. It's raised wages for 8 million workers. I believe we are forcing a real conversation about how to solve the grossest inequality in our generation. People are sick of wealth at the top and no accountability for corporations. Now, I want to say that this sort of thing is encouraging, and it comes at a time of absolute emergency and desperation. FeedingAmerica.org, for example, says, according to the United States Department of Agriculture, which you know is not going to overcount this, 15.8 million children under the age of 18 in the United States live in households where they are unable to consistently access enough nutritious food necessary for a healthy life. In the meantime, America's wealth grew by 60% in the past 6 years by over $30 trillion. That's from rawstory.com. I mean, you hear that America's wealth grows, but what the hell does that mean? Do you know people whose wealth is growing? Do you see that, generally speaking? I just drove here, went across 11th Avenue at, I think it was Pine, and there's a tent city there and has been for years now. People whose best survival, and these are good people, by and large. Some of them are KBOO broadcasters. These are people forced to live on the sidewalk in tents, which are covered with tarps to make them look less like tents, I guess. And there are dozens and dozens of people living there. And it's just, it's such a shock to see that at least once a week. That's the United States post-Reagan. That's what has happened. And yet we hear these stories that America's wealth has grown by 60%. Well, America's wealth, if it means the people of the United States, wealth has not grown by 60%. Certainly not. We've been getting more desperate. Inflation marches on. Our wages diminish. And so where'd that 60% go? Well, it went to the super rich. It went to trillions of dollars offshore, and I'll get to more on that in a few minutes. In the meantime, number to call 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Financier and CEO Peter Schiff has said people don't go hungry in a capitalist economy. But the article on Raw Story points out 60 million kids on food stamps know what it is to go hungry. Perhaps some in Congress would say those children should be working. Georgia Representative Jack Kingston said there's no such thing as a free lunch. Kids should be required to sweep the floor of the cafeteria, as they actually do at a charter school in Texas. That's how nasty they are. I'll get back to that in a minute because Mark's on the air.
Hello, Teresa.
Hi.
Great show. As always, I like it, and I think it's a great service to the community.
Thank you.
I came across something just today in my reading on the internet, and if you would allow me to, I'd like to read you some of it.
If that's relevant, and you can be to a point, sure.
Yes. Well, as you know, KBOO and in general, there's been this big row about Nestle in the gorge buying up the water.
Yes.
Well, let me read this. This is from the Daily Reckoning. In total, the Bush family in 2005 and 2006 purchased 298,840 acres of land in the Paraguayan Chaco, of all places. I don't think the intention here was to have a nice vacation spot. This land sits squarely on top of the world's largest freshwater aquifers, one of the world's largest freshwater aquifers called the Aquifero Guarani. It's in South America. Aquifero Guarani covers roughly 460,000 square miles and sits under parts of Brazil, Paraguay, Uruguay, and Argentina. It's estimated to contain about 37,000 cubic kilometers of water. And he goes on to say, wouldn't you love to know what high-level intelligence the Bush family has been privy to over the years that would make them go out and buy hundreds of thousands of acres of water rights in a remote South American country? I would, but after a little reading, I don't think it is a terribly difficult puzzle to piece together. Today in North America, we have a water crisis on our hands, most notably in California, where unprecedented rationing has recently been ordered. But for the most part, we are blessed with lots of fresh water to serve our population. The rest of the world, for the most part, is not so lucky. While researching this article, I came across a piece of 2008 research from Credit Suisse that estimates that two-thirds of the world's population are likely to live under water-stressed conditions by 2025. That's a lot of people. And 2025 isn't very far in the future.
Well, yeah, and California's drought is right now, but go ahead.
Well, anyway, it seems strange to think that a planet that is covered by 70% of water doesn't have enough of it. The problem is that not much of the 70% is available for human consumption. And there's a graph showing that salt water is 98%, fresh water is 2%, Source University of Nebraska. The other 2%, 87% almost of it, is trapped within glaciers and is inaccessible. And so he says, using my trusty calculator, I can tell you that means that only 0.25% of the water on our planet is fresh water, underground or in rivers or lakes. And so, he goes on and on. And I don't want to read it all to you. But anyway, it's from the Daily Reckoning, and I just thought I would share that with you because I heard that, and this was, maybe 5 years ago when Bush was president, that he bought all this land in Paraguay, and I was thinking, he bought it so he'd have a hiding place. But this brings to the front probably the reason that he did it, because he was buying the water rights to all of this land.
Yeah, well, that is vaguely familiar. I do recall some comment speculatively as to whether that was going to be a bolt hole or what, which is a creepy idea. Hey, thanks very much for calling in.
Yeah, thank you.
Number to call, 503-231-8187. Returning to the article on child poverty in Ross Story, America is a leader in child poverty. And they have a quote of a woman, a teacher, Sonia Romero Smith, who told about two little homeless girls that she adopted, talking about their behaviors while she was trying to help them to recover from having been homeless and having been impoverished. She said, getting rid of bed bugs, that took us a while. Night terrors, that took a little while. Getting rid of hoarding food behavior, that took a while. I mean, that's a description of just how degrading poverty is. And it's a grotesque thing to do to anyone, and it's especially a cowardly and unfair thing to do to a child in a society that is, America's wealth grew by 60% in the past 6 years by over $30 trillion. Well, where did it go? More on where it went. But Jack is on the air right now.
Yeah, obviously it went to the military-industrial complex and their enablers.
Partly, yeah.
And their benefactors and that whole gang. And I'm really glad you brought up the... that you found and brought out so quickly this story about anonymous
shutting down ISIS, yeah,
pulling down these ISIS websites, which obviously, so obviously to anybody who's followed this, NSA, CIA, whomever could have done it several years ago, as soon as this stuff started popping up. But I mean, anybody who really follows the story closely knows that they're the ones responsible for it to begin with. If anybody really wants to study terrorism in the modern times, I recommend the writing of Webster Griffin Tarpley. He talks about, and this is going back to even before 9/11, if you want to know who's running the terrorists, just follow the threads to the ones who are trying to catch them. The agencies trying to catch the terrorists are 99% of the time the ones who are actually running them. And this, if this meme could be blown apart about terrorism, then we could make a lot of progress, I think, in taking down this military-industrial complex.
Thanks for mentioning Webster Tarpley. He has a website, by the way, tarpley.net. And let's see.
That's
the
right.
Top.
All his books are there, and he has a weekly broadcast, and it's podcast there. And
yeah, and the article for this week says Hillary Clinton, the international neocon warmonger.
That's right. He refers to her as the one who needs to be the biggest warmonger in the room. Wherever there's a conclave.
Yep. Yeah, I see her as the new Maggie Thatcher. Thanks for calling in. Number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. Been talking about the $15 minimum wage. Been talking about the poverty that is a result of the wages being so low, the working conditions being so bad, the distribution of wealth being so wretched. Oh my goodness, I thought I had an hour, and I apparently had half an hour. And, hey, Don, I give you 10 seconds. You still there?
Hi, Teresa.
Hi.
In Sydney, Australia, 3 million people are forced to boil their drinking water. And in Africa, 10 million are afflicted with river blindness from tainted water. In Milwaukee and Wisconsin, hundreds of people are dead and over 400,000 violently ill from toxins in their drinking water.
And yet Nestle says water is not a human right. Hey, thanks very much for your comment. You've been listening to Press Watch. Stay tuned for more of the incomparable Radio Zine with Per Fagering, going out to you via 90.7 FM and via the World Wide Web to all the ships at sea.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the Portland Renters Assembly, happening Tuesday the 21st from 5:30 to 7:45 p.m. at the Central Library in downtown Portland, and Sunday the 26th from 1 to 3 p.m. at the North Portland Library. The Portland Renters Assembly is a gathering of people united by the burden of rent and committed to housing as a human right. There'll be a chance for individuals to tell their stories about skyrocketing rents, no-cause evictions, dubious fees, and other kinds of exploitation carried out in the name of rent. There'll be childcare, snacks, and a chance to get connected to resources for moving forward together. For more information about the Portland Renters Assembly, go to kboo.fm and click on the right side for community events.
Thank you.